The second of the readings we've had from Scripture there is where I wish us to go tonight, Psalm 71 and verse 16, which gives to us the Christian resolve of David in this psalm. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. This morning we were listening to an old man, Joshua, as he spoke out of his own life's experience and his lifetime of following the Lord. He had been through the rough and the tumble of Christian leadership, of battle, of possessing and dividing up the land of promise. And out of the rough and the tumble of life, he comes out with this recurring experience. Time and again he tells us that the promises of the Lord God are sure and certain. There's no time limit on them. You cannot think of a situation where they might not apply. There's no best before date attached to them. And that's the encouragement that he gives to himself and shares with the people. But as it is an encouragement, so also it is a challenge that we also should trust the Lord in the same way as Joshua did. It is a course of action. It is a foundation for our life of which we will not be ashamed. We will not be disappointed. We will not be let down. So tonight, we come to another old man, to another saint in his old age. Verse 9 tells us of that, as well as verse 18, where he speaks about his grey-headedness and the lack and loss of his strength. And in this psalm, he is still, despite being an old Christian, long on the way, he is still being tormented, persecuted by his enemies. They're still out to get him. We're not given any historical setting whatsoever to put the experiences of David in a context here. But what we do know and what he tells us here confirms to us a timeless truth. Here is David confirming to us what we all know ourselves. However far we are on the Christian path, that opposition and spiritual battles are a fact of life for the Christian. And they keep going, and they have to be engaged in right up to the end. They don't fade away as we grow old. In a sense, some of the hardest battles are the ones in old age. Go to Psalm again as he writes, this time Psalm 25. And there in verse 7 he makes reference to the sins and faults of his youth. As he and we look back over our days, so often our concern can rest upon the behavior not last week or last month or even last year, but the behavior of a way back then in our days of our youth. Because so often in our younger days, when we were brash without knowledge, we so often committed sins which with more mature years makes us shudder. We may repent over them and we may seek forgiveness for them. But these sins are so often us giving ammunition to the devil to use against us. And use them he will, ruthlessly, insistently, continually. How much is brought back of a past day's weeks, years. How much is brought back before the mind of the Christian to cause us sorrow or sadness? How much is dragged back over the years and generations, trying to poison our old age? We have given the devil a stick to beat us with. The problem of old age, the battles that have to be fought, that's what David is speaking of here. So therefore, in a battle, and in a battle we all will end up sooner or later, what do we do? What is the MO for dealing with that situation? What does David tell us he did? There he is, a war veteran of the best kind. There he is, in old age. And there he is, still in a battle. What does he do? He doesn't gather his friends and tell them and speak with them to get their help, good as that is sometimes. But David has learned a higher and a much more, yes, exacting and demanding, but also a much more satisfying course of action. David has learned to be alone with his God. In thee, O Lord, put my trust. Thou art my rock. Deliver me, my God. Time and time again, the refrain comes at us from a reading of this psalm, of the way in which he shuts the door, the way in which he excludes all other distraction and human company, and he speaks with his God. He rehearses his experiences. He pours out the big things and the little things of his life. He tells his God what he's going through. Thou art my rock, my fortress. Thou art my hope, my trust from my youth. The habits he's developed over these years, the habit he's developed of getting alone with his God, stands him now in good stead in time of severe testing. You remember Daniel's experience of a similar kind when the cry went out that nobody was going to engage in prayer or ask help of any God except of this one set up by the establishment. And Daniel went home, opened the curtains and the window, and he did what he always did as a matter of habit to many, but delight to himself. He prayed. And that got him into trouble. The habits of a lifetime kept him going, and the habit of a lifetime kept David going. He pours his heart out to his God. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Lord, I'm getting old. I'm long in the tooth. I'm not as active, energetic as I once was. But he pours all these things out before his God. And we have here, therefore, a delightsome sight. There's this room and the door is closed. And if we were to get an insight into that room, we would find in that room one person. But the one person that we see there is looking and is speaking to another, to his God and to his Lord. Is that a reality with us? Do we know something of that experience for ourselves? Not just simply, perhaps, in the circumstances that David paints for us here, but for many other things that come our way in life. To be alone with God, it's the closest thing to heaven and earth. And it's the most worthwhile, and it's the most profitable way of dealing with problems that arise and difficulties that come our way. This is the most precious, the best, the most powerful basis for our life. And yet we, all of us, have to acknowledge there are times when we try alternatives before we try this. How often we try other approaches and avenues, and all the while we lose out. So therefore, we're going into a new week. We might be going into a new experience. Somebody might be going into an altogether different, challenging sphere of work or area. How are we going to face and how are we going to cope? We step out, and we step out by giving God His place and priority with us. This, the foundation of anything big or small that we do. An old man, alone with his troubles and with his God. He's weary. He's bowed. But he's speaking to somebody. Some people might, with a degree of cynicism, say he's only speaking to himself. But he's speaking to his God. And his God strengthens him. And very quickly we find at the end of the psalm his circumstances are altogether different. He might have gone into that room to meet with his God with his head bowed, a cloud over his life, with a tear in his eye and a dragging of his feet. But he comes out by the end of the psalm, and with a song in his mouth and a skip in his step, and his body language is altogether different. What's his experience then in this psalm for us? I want, first of all, for us to think of the determination that he tells us about. The determination that he has. He might be an old man, but there's something gritty and steel-like in verse 16. I will go on in the strength of the Lord God. Yes, he's traveled far. Yes, he's come through a lot. That packed life, we're familiar with it in several different strands. It's had its effect upon him. He's weary. He's been exploited by the enemy constantly. And the enemy can come to him, and the devil can say to him, and sit beside him and say to him, oh, you've had enough, you've done enough, David. It's time now that the fight is over. For too long of your days upon the earth, you stood out against the crowd. You've tried to go against the flow. David, just backpedal a little bit. David, just mute your words a little bit. David, just give up a little bit of your confidence in God and in heaven. David, it's too extreme. Look at the effect it's having upon you. Backpedal. Give up. Was that not the problem we saw with Manasseh? Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king, and Hezekiah had life very similar to David's because of the way in which he stood out for God. And the Assyrians made life hard and difficult for Hezekiah, and Manasseh saw it all last 15 years of his life. And because of the hassle and the hardship that his father went through, Manasseh says, that's it, none of that for me. I'll do a deal with the Assyrians. Around about us today, there are so many people who amuse themselves with what they've got, what they have, what they experience. David, let others fight now. Drop the sword for your master just a little degree. So the whispers go on. But it only provokes the old man. He's stirred. And he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. The work isn't yet finished. There's more to do. There's more to tell for my master. There may not be the strength in my legs, but there is still the desire in my heart and breath in my body and enthusiasm in my soul. Still he hopes, and still he relies upon his God. If you go on just from Psalm 71, just a few more psalms to Psalm 73, you'll find a very similar situation, a very similar insight that David shares with us there. There in Psalm 73, it's the subtlety of materialism that is the problem to him. He saw people getting on and going on, and it caused him tremendous thoughts. He was almost overbalanced. He almost lost his footing in his Christian life. He almost fell. He had to rethink his Christian position again. And when he did it, he was strengthened. His confidence returned when he speaks again in verse 25. This time I'm in Psalm 73, 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fainteth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He was on the verge of being overcome. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength, his strength. And then at the very end of that psalm he says, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I might declare all thy works. You can hear the echo in 73 of what we're going to look at here in Psalm 71. His determination. I will go on. His confidence renewed, his confidence strengthened by waiting upon God. His determination not only in confidence, but also his determination in conflict. He's constantly fighting. After so many battles, after so many skirmishes, after so many ambushes, yes, you can see the weight and the power of the suggestion that would come to him. Come on, David, give in to someone else. Let someone else take over the mantle. In conflict, you've done your duty. Let someone else take the lead. But his determination was equally firm in that department as in others. I will go on in the strength of the Lord God. We read in 2 Samuel 21:15 of the way in which David, and that's what comes at the end of 2 Samuel, he's an old man, and yet there he is going out to battle, and one day when he goes out to battle, he faints. And the people take him in and says, right, no more. You're not doing that again, David. If you fall and the light is quenched, he's not going out to battle again. But it's his life's work. It's in his bones. And if he cannot fight like he did the lion and the bear and he fought Goliath in his earliest days, if he can't do that, then he'll fight in other ways. Through prayer, through guidance, through counsel. In conflict, whatever form it took, he wasn't a quitter. He didn't give in, give up, or go away. He was resolved, determined to go on in the strength of his God. And particularly the weakness of old age being used against him like this. Because of that weakness, his enemies, we're told in verse 11, they take counsel together and they say, God's forsaken him. Let's go for him. Let's get him. David can't fight, so let's go for him. God's no longer with him. He's lost his place. He's lost his place in the scheme of things. It's gone to someone else. He's a byword. He's a backwater. He has been washed up on the beach and left by God. One of the hardest taunts that anyone can meet. Hurting. And it's hurting all the more so when it's used either in old age or when we're weak or when we're in trouble. But David will not. David is not going to roll over and give in. He's going to fight on. His determination to keep going. The same kind of determination that we need and need to be encouraged about from time to time, because we're living in a society where there is little sympathy for anything Christian. You've always got to be politically correct whenever you say things in the religious domain and sphere. There's great ignorance, there's huge problems, and the biggest problem is the one that carried in every heart, the one of sin. And we need the biblical answer for it. And we're not deflected, and we're not silenced, and we're not put off. It's the old gospel message of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message that our society needs, and we've got an obligation as well as a responsibility to speak of it constantly. No matter what the battle is, that's our confidence and that's our conflict. And so we share this determination with David. I will go on in the strength of the Lord. And even when we show, and if people do show some sympathy and interest, if things that God has been saying have taken root in our lives, if we've known answers to prayer or blessings in time of need and help in time of need, when these things come, we can be assured that opposition is going to come quick on our tail. And therefore we face a real test at that moment. Which way are we going to go? We've got this company of the old saint. Listen to his words. Look at his life. He's not given in. And he's not intimidated and he's not silenced by anything of the enemy about him. When we're sympathetic to the gospel, we are not to be deterred or detracted by the opposition that will come sooner or later against us. Determination. But the second thing I want us to look at here very briefly is dependence. How is he going to bring all this about? How is an old man going to stand firm as he says he will? It's a formidable prospect. How is it going to happen? People today stand upon their own strength, and that's all they've got, and therefore when they capsize, they go down. But David's not like that, because David is going to rely upon the Lord. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. The image we've got is like putting on a coat, or putting on a garment, or a cloth, putting on something. That's what David is doing here. He's going to put on the Lord. The Lord is, we're told, his hope and his trust in verse 5. He's going to take the Lord at his word, his hope and his trust. God called him from the place of being a shepherd. God placed him upon the throne and gave him the privilege as well as the responsibility of governing. God gave him promises, countless promises about him. Therefore, David is going to say, that's what God has done for me. I'm going to rely upon him, what he's told me. At the bidding of God, I'm setting out. He's put on the Lord. As if he turns to the Lord and he says, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. All that I've got to go on, all that I've got to lean on, all that I've got to stand on, Lord, you are my hope. You are my trust. I'm doing it because you've told me, you've promised me, you've guided me. I'm trusting you in this. He's taking God at face value. The same with ourselves today. We've got a fight on our hand for God's values and God's standards. We've got a fight today in our society, but we're not alone in that fight. Remember, we looked at Joshua this morning. Well, go to the very beginning of Joshua chapter 5, and there he is looking out on the battle scene of the city of Jericho. And the night before the battle, he goes to that quiet place that he can see everything and get it in his mind clear that things are deployed for the battle. And there the Lord meets him and tells him, "No, Joshua, you're not on your own. The Lord is with you to fight because you are doing his work." David, his hope, his trust. But then in verse 16, the one we're coming to, we're told, "He is my strength." When he moves into the sphere of service, leadership, battle, teaching, living, whatever be the domain we look at, there's so many demands made on David, so many demands made on us. The need is great. Where does it come from? What's his dependence? He's depending upon God for his strength. Quickness of thought. Clarity of expression. Strength in a dark room. Courage to face the enemy. All of these and so many different situations require strength on our part. And David looked to the Lord for that strength appropriate for every situation and circumstance. As our days, so shall your strength be, the one of the promises that were given, Deuteronomy 33. God's strength and commitment to his people doesn't drop off towards the end. Remember what Caleb said, Joshua 14:10. "God who has kept me these 40 years in the wilderness, I'm an old man, look at me." Himself and Joshua were the two old men compared to all the rest of the society that were around about him, because the rest had been left lost in the wilderness. Here he is, an old man. But is he a weak old man? No. He's given the strength by God for what God has yet for him to do. David had yet things to do, and God gave him the strength also. We saw there Psalm 73 and the way in which the psalmist was weakening underneath the pressure of materialism upon him. He weakened under the pressure, but God strengthened him and kept him. And what he knew, what Caleb experienced, what these psalms speak of and teach us, it's true about all Christians. Jude 24, "And now unto him who is" what? That great benediction at the end of Jude, "And now to him who is able to keep us from folly." The strength of God to keep us from folly. His dependence upon that strength. But he goes on and he says more. He says in verse 3, "Thou art my rock and my fort," or my fortress. When things get tight and hard, when the battle is hand to hand and close like that, God does not suddenly abandon and he's left alone. The Christian isn't exposed and vulnerable, but God is his protection and God will keep him safe. We grow old. We know the change which age brings with us. We're not able to do the things we once did. We have to readjust our priorities, our work schedule, and our agendas. But the passing of the years brings no change with our God. His power does not decrease. His commitment does not wane. His interest does not flag. Years brings no change with our God. We can trust in him now as we have in the past, and we will not be disappointed or let down. Here is an old man, and here's an old man who's reaffirming his position, his dependence upon his God. God who will refresh him, strengthen him as he waits upon him. The quietness that he speaks of and the quietness that we need. Life today is so busy and hectic, and the pace of knots can drag us along quite unconsciously, and we can suddenly be going flat out in our lives without touching the accelerator. And David is saying, no, the quietness of waiting upon God. And in doing so, we have strength for whatever life has for us. Do we have that reliance upon the Lord? Where does our dependence, what is the fountain of our life? Where do we draw when we are in need? What do we go to? Who do we go to when we've got a problem or a difficulty? Especially when we come to the last enemy, death itself. We will be tested mostly then. Will we be sustained by our resources? Or will we be let down? Who, what are we depending upon? Yes, his determination. Yes, his dependence. Then lastly, in just a few words, his declaration. What and who is he going to speak about? I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. If he's going to speak, he's going to speak about the Lord, about what the Lord has done for him, and how rich that experience is for David. So many things we could highlight. We're not going to go through them. Let me just mention two. David, at one moment in his life, was so impulsive, he was ready to go and to spill the blood of one person who had crossed him. Didn't give his shepherds food and nourishment, and he was going to spill blood. But Abigail intervened and kept him back from foolishness. The righteousness of God in his life. Or again, the sin with Bathsheba, and the way in which this time it is the grace of God that met him and dealt with him. So many other things could be brought out. Time prevents. But he's going to speak about the righteousness of God in dealing with him. And that speaking and declaration that he's going to do is given urgency. How? It's given urgency because of the unknown days that are left to him. He doesn't know how long he's got. And therefore he's got to speak at every opportunity he's given. He's going to tell of the Lord and his righteousness. And he doesn't tell it in a cold, clinical, distant thing and way. But he's going to speak of the Lord in a close and a personal way. Speak of the Lord with passion, tenderness. Speak of the Lord as a personal friend. Speak of the Lord as one whom he knows and who has kept him and looked after him so much along life's way. His own life and all his days are a testimony to the righteousness of his God. And how we should speak also, and how we've got to speak about the righteousness of God. How is God going to forgive sin? Does he just simply speak a word and that's it done? If that were the case, then that could easily be undone by God speaking also. Sin needs more than just simply words. Sin needs action. And it's giving of the life of Christ his Son, a perfect sacrifice from a pure lamb, without any spot or blemish, taking the penalty that was due to us. He saves and redeems and pardons those who trust in him. God is just, and he's able in a just way to have sinners in his company through the wonderful work of the cross. How then are we going to use the rest of our days? How are we going to use the rest of our lives? Sharing with others what we have received from the Lord. Here he is, an old man. In his latter years, his faith is burning brighter and shining because of it. Here he is, content with his God, relying on his Lord, serving his Lord. Let me close with just this simple poem. It's applicable to old age as David was in, but to us in many other different circumstances. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labours increase. To added affliction he added his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power no bounty known unto men. And out of his infinite resource, out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for the riches of thy word to us and thy dealings with us in grace, in sitting underneath its teaching, but also, Lord, now we're aware of our responsibility to live by it and spread it and share it. And therefore, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst strengthen us to remember, strengthen us to live by it. And when we sow the seed, albeit sowing with tears, Lord, may we have the prayer that thou wouldst bless it and make it fruitful in those who hear it. Deal with us in thy grace, Lord, and forgive us our sin. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this evening by singing from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and at verse 3 through 7. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord and be thou doing good. And so thou in the land shalt dwell and verily have food. Delight thyself in God. He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit him trust that bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display, and he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who prospering in his way, success in sin doth get.